Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. I welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. Good to see everybody. I was just talking. Hard to figure out what to do with some places have called off their services. Keith was talking about one that called off for 6 weeks, and I know one place is having a singing tonight, so I don't know which way is right. But we're going this way for a little while longer and see what happens. Nobody knows the answers, undoubtedly, so try to stay safe. I don't know what that means. I don't know to wear a mask, not to wear a mask. We all are confused, so all I know to do is pray, leave it in God's hands, and try to do what you feel is best for you and your family. And, you know, it's a tough time for everybody. I know in our business, but it seems like our business is booming right now. I don't know. It seems like things are going good, but so just begin to, if you hadn't been already, and I'm sure you have been, but begin praying for our nation, pray for our cities, pray for our churches, that he'd give the pastors wisdom of how to go through the rest of this year and whatever until this thing is under control and God decides to take it off of the earth and do away with it. So, but as far as prayer requests this morning, I got a special one. A good friend of mine's father passed away, and it was from the COVID. Been on the vent down at Regional for 3 weeks. He passed away last night. Y'all remember him and his family. He was Brother Gene McElroy. Some of y'all may have knew Gene. He had, and he wouldn't mind me telling you if he was here alive today, he was an alcoholic for many years, and God saved him and called him to preach. He used to come preach for me some at Brotherhood at Rock Springs, and he was a good man. God changed him. And so we don't have to worry about that today of where he's at, but pray for his family and those that loved him. And he was a member of Verdon's Chapel Church since he was saved over at Trickham Valley. And they'll dearly, dearly miss him. He was faithful. Every time the doors open, you'd see his truck there. So remember them. Remember his family. Do we have any others? I had heard that.
She's a bus driver, so just remember that family.
Yeah, remember her. Any others? I know there are many others, so if you have any unspoken, remember those. I'm sure we all got some unspoken prayer requests. And let's just worship the Lord today in spirit and in truth. I know, like I said last week, it's easy to feel like we're defeated, but we're not. We win. We're going to lose some battles. We talked about that, but we know the war has been won, and he is still on the throne. So thanks be to God. He never changes. He never changes. He never backs up one bit. Any others?
School systems.
Yes. School will be starting back. Some schools are already started back in our area. I saw some kids going to school and stuff and around Georgia. So pray for them. One of them teachers in Georgia is laughing back there, so pray for them. And
that was my sister.
Yeah.
It went
so pray for all these that will be going back. And again, nobody knows the right answers. They're doing the best they can with what they believe is right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. God, I ask you to heal our nation. God, heal it spiritually first. Be your will, take this virus off of our land, off the earth. God, just destroy it. Lord, we know it's there for a purpose. Your glory will come from it. We know that all things work for your glory. God, we pray that when it's gone, that we give you the glory, that we give it to you now, because we know you're going to take care of it. Father, we ask you to be with these loved ones that's lost, these family members. Brother Gene McElroy, God, what a great man of God, and we ask you to touch his family. We know he's rejoicing today. The Bible says, if you be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. We got that hope and we got that assurance today. God, we ask you to be with many others that are suffering from this illness and many others. God, there's still other illnesses happening. We just don't see them today because we focused on this one. And God, we ask you to heal those also. Be with our leaders of our nation. God, if we got an election coming up, I pray that you touch our nation. Let us understand that we must stay with you. And if we leave completely, that it will not be good. God, we ask for your wisdom, your knowledge for the people. God, we ask you to be with our leaders of our cities, our states, and God, our churches. show us the wisdom, give us the wisdom to show us the direction to go, and God, that may we be bold enough to follow it. Ask you to be with us today as we preach, open our hearts and minds that we may receive your message. God, I pray somebody today get some help. We know that it's available. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall, and all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs to make a kind of forgiveness at a price I've been paid. I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. Well, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire and the furnace,
there was Jesus.
Always is and always was. No, I never walked alone. To always be alone. In the way, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, I couldn't see it.
To Titus chapter number 3. Better turn that on. Titus chapter number 3. Verse number 5 is what I had on my list, but I'm also going to read number 6. You can read 6 also. It's too good not to mention that one. But I was, the Lord put this message upon my heart and began thinking on it all week of how great He is. And what He does, and the God, type of God He is. And I began thinking about a prefix. I don't know why. I should have listened in school more than I did, but I didn't. I was in a hurry to get out and thought I knew more than they did already. But I should have listened and learned more about about the English language, and it would have helped me a lot. They teach Spanish now. I never got through English. I would have been in a mess with Spanish. But as I began thinking about this prefix, re, or R-E, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means again and again and again and again. So the title of this sermon is The God of Again and Again and Again, and you can keep going with those agains. He don't run out of those agains. And thank God for that, because if he would have, I would have used all my agains up. But we can't run out of those agains. It's not an excuse to try to, but we cannot run out of them. You cannot run God out of his grace. It's not as our gas tank in our cars. It never runs empty. It never even gets low. It never moves from on full. You know, it's not a man alive ever moved God's grace from on full. But in Titus chapter number 3, verse number 5, this is just one of the topics we're going to preach about today. But listen to this verse. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, there's that re, and another re, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we thank you that you're a God of again and again and again, and we can keep going. God, I pray today that if there's anyone here, number one, that needs this regeneration, God, they will come to you as you draw them. God, if there's one here that needs renewing, God, one here that needs restoring, we pray that they'll come. Lord, we know that you are the God of second chances and on and on and on. Lord, I pray that somebody today sees that and understands it and gets help from it and moves forward. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, amen. The first topic we're going to preach about is the God of regeneration. Regeneration. You look up that verse, and it simply means to regenerate something means to make it again. Take the thing and redo it. Make it over. Now I begin thinking about this verse in Titus of nothing we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us and regenerated us. He made a brand new you. He took the old heart of stone, the Bible says, and he put a heart of flesh in it, and he remade you. And all men needed remaking, because in the relationship of God and man, it got destroyed in the Garden of Eden. And I preach about this all the time, but I will continue to preach about it, because until people realize they're in a condition of lostness without God and their relationship with God has been severed, then nobody can be made whole. But this thing happened in the Garden of Eden, and it happened by a simple act of disobedience. It wasn't the killing of something. It wasn't they went out and murdered. They went out and stole or any of this stuff. They simply disobeyed God. That's how serious that God holds sin today. And that's where it started, and our relationship was severed. So, listen, this didn't take God by surprise. Before the foundation of the world, before we can even imagine anything happening, God made this plan for his son to come and to regenerate man back to him. Didn't just happen at the moment the fall happened. We're guilty of thinking that man and Adam and Eve was in the garden, all of a sudden they sinned, and God thought, what am I going to do? No, nothing took him by surprise. He knew what man would do, and in his loving mercy and grace, he still gives us an opportunity to have a thing called life, and how beautiful this thing called life is. But just think about this, in all of his things he's made great. I look at the earth and it's great. I look at the oceans and they overwhelm me. I look at the rivers and they're just amazing. I look at the sun and all this stuff. They say that all these temperatures it has been burning for all these years, and people wonder when it's going to run out, and they can't figure this thing out, and it's all these million miles away. And man, it just overwhelms me to think about how great it is. But listen, that was not his greatest accomplishment. His greatest accomplishment was regenerating man back to him. And today, if you have not been regenerated, you have to be right with God. You cannot come as your old sinful self. It will not work. It says, not according to any work you have done, but according to his grace, he saved you and regenerated you. And how did he do it? By the washing of regeneration. It tells us that we must be washed by the Word of God, and we're done that through the Holy Ghost of God, that He draws man to Him, and then miraculously, some way, I don't fully understand this, and you don't either, God takes a heart that is cold and stony and black, and He puts a heart of flesh in it, and He makes it white as snow, and the sin is forever done away with. It is not put away somewhere, and God can bring it up to you one day. It's not any of that. The Bible says that He throws it into the sea of forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, never to remember it again. That sin is forevermore gone, and you are regenerated. Is that not miraculous today? Regeneration. You must be. It's done by the washing of sin away forever, by the blood of God's own Son. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to this. Boy, this will make a Baptist shout. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. In His own blood, it says we wouldn't regenerated with corruptible things such as silver and gold or any other type of valuable we can think about, but we've been saved by the most valuable thing that has ever stepped foot on the earth, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing ever been close to it in wealth. There's nothing, you can't even think about enough stuff. It cannot come close to the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the only cleaning agent in the world that can clean a man's sin out of him is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And you got that because He loved us so much that He sent Him to die in our place. And that through this, men are regenerated. It's what we call saved today. We are made new in the likeness of God. We are brought from an old man, and we are that old man is done. He is corruptible. And this new man comes up once he is saved, and is a man that can be presented to God in complete holiness. You see, when that sin is washed away, it's a sin of past, it's a sin of present, and it's a sin of future. The Bible says no longer can you sin if you have been washed by this blood. Yes, we know that we mess up daily and we commit these sins daily, but our sin with God is done away with. He no longer sees it. To Him, my brother, you are a saint. Perfect. You see, your wife may not see it. Most of them won't. You may not see it in your wife, but they've been regenerated by this blood. They are perfect. And if they are perfect with God, how can they not be perfect with anybody else? If that regeneration has made them brand new with God, then listen, I can't help but think about Brother Gene McElroy. You see, I wasn't raised in that way, but as I went to school at Ramburn, I can remember a little bit about Brother Gene. And he would tell you the same thing if he was preaching this morning. He was a drunk. He was a drunk, the town drunk, if you wanted to say it that way. But God got a hold of him. He saved him. I heard that man stand and preach the Word of God, and it's a complete example of regeneration. How God takes something that's corruptible, he touches it, and all of a sudden it's made incorruptible, it's made perfect in His likeness. And man, what a great example this morning that man was to me. Thanks be to God for that life. We must be regenerated. You must be made new. Now, once you've been made new, once you've been made new, you still, at some point, stand in need of some restoration. Think about this. I've messed with cars all day. At some point, every car that's in that junkyard we have of 900 cars, at one day, one of them was brand new. Every single one of them was bought new at some point. And listen, as time went by, and women drivers such as, by the way, Abby's got her own section there. We've got her own section laid by itself. So far, she's got a couple added to it, and I hope we're done with that. But as those cars began getting destroyed, at some point, they can be restored. You can restore them. You can take one, I don't care how bad it's wrecked, if you want to spend enough time and money, you can restore that thing. You can make it back to like it was. It may take a lot of time, a lot of money, but you could do it. But at once, it was brand new, and there's times because of scratches and dents and rust and corrosion of being out in the world, this thing gets beat up, it goes to Walmart. And doors get open on it. And there's times it needs to be restored. It needs to be redone. And it can be that way. And listen, so can that brand new man that you have. You see, the soul, that gets saved. But this old corruptible flesh I have, bless God, it never gets saved. It is corruptible. It is dying every day. And because of that, there's times that I need to be restored. How do I know that? There was a man in Psalms 51, verse number 12. This man that wrote this, name was David. And this was a man that the Bible says was after God's own heart. This was a saved man. You won't make me believe any other way that David knew the Lord. Everybody agree with that? David knew the Lord. I've got no doubt about that. You say, well, a man that knows the Lord could not do the things. Hey, you got to take that up with God. It's in His Word. But David sinned a great sin. We know all the things he done. He was a liar, number one. You remember that Ziklag? He lied to the people. And not only that, he was a murderer. And before he was a murderer, he lusted after another man's wife. The Bible says he's up on the housetop and he saw her taking a bath. Now, I don't know about you, but this ain't every day I go up on a housetop. He knew exactly what he was going to see when he went onto the housetop. He was a man. And men, you may think you're different, but you're not. You're all capable of the same thing David did. David was a man. Yet the Bible says he had a heart that was after God's. He had a heart that was made up like God's. No, he wasn't perfect like God, but his heart followed that direction as God's did. And this man, he lied, he lusted, he killed. He killed his own warrior in the worst way he could. He sent him to the front of the battles and had him put in a place where he'd be killed, just as crooked as a snake could be. This is this man, David. And listen to what this man, David, wrote. God had him pin this down in Psalms 51, verse 12. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David needed to be restored. This was a man after God's own heart that must have been in a bad shape, because he said, "God, I need restoring." And David understood something. The only way he could be restored is have the joy of God's salvation. Listen, that don't say my salvation. It says thy salvation, which is God's. He gives it to you as a free gift. And David needed that thing restored and the joy of it. Hey, do you remember when you was first saved? Do you remember? Oh, how happy you was. And how green the grass was. And how perfect everything was. Oh, you're just like a brand new child. It was a great day. But then you went out into the world just as that car did, and a few doors have been opened on you. You've got your fenders bent in this morning. You've got some things wrong with you, and you need to be restored. Listen, it's not bad to have to ask God to restore you. It's a sin not to ask God to restore you. David realized if he was going to be a man, a king that God could use, then he must be restored. And he said, "God, restore me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. Uphold me." Not only did he sin all these sins, he got out of the will of God. You see, we'll teach and we'll preach today that if you get out of the will of God, you're in a bad shape, and you are in a bad shape. But I want to tell you, the worst thing you can do is stay there. The worst thing you can do when you're out of the will of God, and as David was, is stay there. You remember when David, he sinned his great sin, he was laying down, his baby had gotten sick and been sick for 7 days, and David prayed and he put dirt upon himself, and he cried out and he would eat no drink, he would drink anything, he wouldn't eat anything, and all of a sudden the baby died. And his servant said, "The baby's dead, we cannot tell him because he will kill himself." And so they went, and David heard them whispering. And the Bible says David perceived that the child was dead. He got up, he took a bath, and he went to the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. How many of us would have stayed down there? David was a man after God's own heart, and he needed restoring. My friend, this morning, I've never seen your name in the Bible that said you was a man after God's own heart. But I do see our names in the Bible. It's all the way through here. I'm part of the world. He come to save me. He come to save you. And he restored David. And may I have some good news this morning. Just because you have messed up, just because you've got your fenders in and in as that car did, may I tell you that you're not destroyed. You're not total today, because God is in the restoration business. Restoring. If you remember, the restoration process started in David's life with a man named Nathan. A man named Nathan come to David. He said, "David, you're a sinner. You have sinned in the sight of God." He tells him all the things he'd done. And David was ready to kill that man. You remember that about the sheep? And David said, "Well, this man must die. I must repay fourfold." I believe Nathan looked him dead in the eye and he said, "You're the man. You're the one, David, that has sinned this great sin. You need restoration. You need restoring." Nathan had some good news for him. He said, but David, God has not cursed you because of your sin. He is not killing you because of your sin. Matter of fact, your sin has been put away from him. He has forgiven it. David needs restoring. Not regenerated. Get this, understand this. He did not have to be regenerated again. He had done been regenerated. He was a man after God's own heart. But David needed to be restored. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. Now listen to this closely. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You stop right there and you preach that and you get into the theology of that. That is a saved man. It's impossible for one that, listen, the Holy Ghost, that is how we are saved. It indwells us. We know that because of the Spirit in the way. It says it's impossible and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. My friends, it's impossible to have to be regenerated once you've been regenerated, but there are times you need to be restored. Restored is a lot different than regeneration. David needed to be restored. When we're away from God, we think we're the ones who moved. He's still in his right place. We just need to restore ours. We are the ones that moved. We need to get back to our right place. I promise you that if you could see a picture, God is right where he's always been. He's not moved one iota. We think when we fail God that he is mad at us. We think when we fail God that he's decided he's going to turn his back on us. We think when we fail God that he is done. We're over. We have no more hope. There's nothing else. And my friend, may I tell you this morning, that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. And that's all he wants you to think, that God is done with you. Because if you do, you'll be no good for anything. But this morning, I'm glad to tell you that, my friend, if you're away from God, you're the one that moved. God is still in his rightful place, because my Bible says that he is God and he changes not. Nothing I can do can make him love me one more. Nothing I can do can make him not like me anymore, not love me anymore. He is God. He loves unconditional. He don't love it such as man does. But my friend, there comes a time when all of us must be restored. That's why we have something called revival. It's not just a set of meetings like we've done for years. Although I love revival meetings, it is a turning back to God. You can't revive something that's never been alive. You can't do it. Revive. There's that R-E again. Thirdly, he's a God of renewing. Renewing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Boy, ain't you glad about this? Ain't you glad that each day is a brand new start? I believe that's what it's saying, that we get a brand new again. We get a brand new go at it. We get a brand new opportunity. Listen, the sun comes up just like it does every day. That thing hadn't changed my whole life. At the times of year, it'll change its direction a little bit of the angle it's at, but it comes up. Even if it's cloudy, it don't matter. It still comes up. It goes down just like God wants it to. We still have seasons just like we always do. My friend, God has not changed. And every day I get a brand new beginning. The inward man. This outward man, I can look in the mirror. It's hard to admit. But I don't look like I did when I was 20, Terry. If you're honest, you don't either. I saw a picture of Rudy somewhere. I'm trying to remember where it was. And he had black hair. I thought, that ain't Rudy. Who is that? It said it was Rudy, so I guess it was. I better not get on Pat. I could stay there all day. But our outward man perishes. We age. In the Garden of Eden, when sin came into the world, Adam and Eve started dying right then. Their bodies started dying. The moment you are born, you start the dying process. You start dying. It's an ongoing process, but you do. You age. You can't run as fast as you used to could. You can't do a lot of things you used to could do, but you get a lot more wisdom, that's for sure. But you cannot do the things you used to do because that outward man, and you can look in the mirror and you can look at your pictures. And have you ever noticed how you're not as pretty as you think you are when you look at a picture? I don't know why that is. I can look in the mirror and, boy, I am something else. But I look at a picture and I think, that can't be me. But we begin aging. and it begins dying, begins perishing day by day. You see, our bodies are ever failing, getting old. We can have all kinds of amazing, great things they can do today. They can do some amazing things. You can have a heart attack with a blocked artery. They can go in your wrist now and unclog that thing, put a stent in, and you can be back to your business in a few days. You can have cancer that they're able to treat a lot better than they used to be. Still, many people perish from it. But what I'm telling you is, of all the great things they can do, there's not a single thing that they've come up with that can stop man from dying. They can keep you on a machine forever, but you ain't alive. They keep your blood going through your veins, but it ain't you. They cannot stop it from dying. Sin caused it. Nobody can stop the effects from sin. Nobody. It starts a dying process, and it cannot be redone in our power. Our inward man, the part that God saves, is made new, and being made new every day. Every day is a brand new start. Boy, think about that. If you mess up today, I believe the Bible says if you confess your sins, God is just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe you should do that every single day of your life. I believe before you lay your head at night, you should say, God, forgive me of those things between me and you and make me right. Because listen, the Bible says you don't know if you're waking in the morning. You don't know when your next second is. Renewed every day. Listen to Psalms 51 verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Still the same man of God who had failed. God, renew me. Restore me, God. Renew me. Put the right spirit back within me that I once had, that I once knew things was right. Put that back in there because I have messed it up, and I need you to make it right again. By the way, you go on and study these verses. David says something else. He says that when God restores him and when God renews him, it says, then will I convert lost sinners unto you, a man in a condition that needs restoring, a man in a condition that needs renewing, has no desire to tell people about Jesus Christ. I believe the reason that we stop have seen people witness like they used to, telling people how good God is because most of us need some restoration. Most of us need some renewing. We need some making like we was the first day we said yes to Jesus. Create in me a clean heart, a right spirit. Listen to this. Not only does our spirit need restoring and renewing, our strength needs renewing. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they shall, they that shall wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. My friend, you need renewing. You know why you have to sleep at night? To be renewed. Renewed. You understand what that word means? It means new again. New again. Pat says, well, I'm 90 years old and I wake up, I don't feel new again. But you feel as new as you did yesterday because that dying process has taken place. But we'd have to be renewed. Our strength needs renewing. Church, we're at a time that, we say this every week, we'll probably continue saying it, maybe forever. We're at a time that nobody has ever seen. There is people that are fainting in the midst of this stuff. They are giving up. I looked at a dang thing today on a church that was on Facebook Live this morning at 9 o'clock. The same church a few months ago would have had many, many people watching. You know how many was watching this service this morning? Seven. They done research and people that is watching their services at home, 96% of them admitted they had quit watching. And of the percentages that was watching, about 92% admitted they had not been watching their own service. You know why that is? Because we've got a human nature that everything everybody else has got is better than ours. You know why we have TV commercials where you can see that new truck is better than the truck you have now. And we as humans, we love to gravitate towards that. We'll watch another church and what they're doing, and man, that's so much better than my church and all this. And hey, if you can go over there and be what God's called you to be, brother, I tell you to go. But the fact of the matter is, something new will come along again. And you'll begin gravitating over there again. is human nature. And it's happened through this pandemic. Churches who once had big numbers, nobody's come back. Why is it? I believe it's because they've gotten weak. Their spirit, their strength needs renewing. All this stuff's good to talk about, but how does it happen? How do you do it? How does David get restored? How does David get renewed? He cried out to an almighty God. He repented of his sins, and he asked God to restore him, to renew him. Yes, it was a conversation that went on between him and God, and God miraculously does it. How he does his part, I don't know, but he tells me that I must humble myself before him. By the way, he tells our nation, if my people who called after my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will they hear from heaven, and I'll heal their land. But you see, I want God to do his part, but I don't want to do my part, because my part's hard, and it takes some sacrifice. We all want to be as this eagle. We all want the majestic soaring in life as an eagle has. Oh, they're beautiful. If you've never seen one, you need to go see one fly sometime. But don't get too caught up on them, because they're just like buzzards. You want to see a great amount of eagles, you go to Alaska and you go to a landfill. You go to a garbage dump and you'll see all kinds of bald eagles. But they are beautiful when they fly with those big wings. We all want to be that. But we don't want to have to do what it takes to get to that point, which is wait upon the Lord. Rely on the Lord is what that verse means. Rely on the Lord. Bring your cares to Him. Bring your failures to Him. You see, we're pretty good at bringing our wants. What about bringing your failures? You see, we have a hard time admitting we have failed. We have a hard time admitting that we have come short of the glory of God. This morning, if you're a human being, and I think you all are in this place, listen to this message this morning. Some may be listed on YouTube or Facebook, but I promise you, even if you are regenerated, you need restoring. You need renewing. Because if nothing else, this thing we've been going through has gotten you knocked down. It's gotten you out of shape. It's gotten you all dented up. Today, there's regeneration through this God of regeneration. If you've never been saved, He is willing to regenerate and make a brand new you. Take that old heart of stone out. Put in a heart of flesh. That's in Jeremiah. I can't remember the verse. He's a God of restoration. Maybe you've been regenerated. You say, preacher, I saved 50 years ago. But in the process, I have gotten beaten up. I have gotten some dents. I've gotten some scratches. May I tell you today that God will restore. And lastly, He's a God of renewing. I promise you, you need your spirit renewed. That's why you come here this morning. You need your strength renewed. That's why you feel like the world's falling apart. You remember how strong you used to be? Remember how strong you was when you were in the right relationship with God? And all of a sudden you find yourself in a weak place and find yourself in a place where you don't know what to do. And we're being drug around from here to here, told everything to do. Well, you must wear a mask. You don't need to wear a mask. You do this, it's going to kill you. You do that, it's going to kill you. If you do this, you got to do this. You got to vote this way, vote that way. It's just coming from all directions. And you're beaten up. You've gotten weak. My God is a God of renewing. That little prefix, re, that should say God. Again and again and again and again. You see, we think we can run God out of this grace, as I said when I started. That verse about Paul, where God says, my grace is sufficient. People think differently about this, but I'm going to tell you what I think. I think David had a sin that so easily beset him. Not David, but Paul. I think Paul had a sin. He said that God, when he would get built up, that a messenger of Satan would come to buffet him. To knock, that word buffet means knock down. I've heard people say they believe it was David's eyesight. Personally, I don't believe that. I know where the scripture says that the certain church said if it was possible, they would give him their own eyes. But I believe Paul's thorn in the flesh was a sin. Because he said a messenger of Satan would come and buffet me. He would knock me down. He said he prayed to God about it three times. God said, my grace is sufficient. Because in your weakness, I am made strong. I believe God showed Paul that he had a sin he couldn't get away from, and the only hope he had was him, and he could never run him dry. You say, well, that don't sound fair. It ain't fair. Anything God done for you ain't fair, because you don't deserve a bit of it. I'm not telling you to go sin because this grace is sufficient. I'm telling you it should do exactly the opposite of that. It should give us a desire to want to live for him, knowing that that gift's been given. That no matter how hard I tried, I can't outrun that grace. How about you this morning? As Pat comes, if you stand. There may be somebody here that still has an old heart of stone. You have a heart that's so hard, you don't even know how it beats. I know that's figuratively speaking, but your inward man is that hard, had become that hard. God this morning, if he is drawing you to himself, the Bible says for man to come, he must be drawn. That is the wash, that's the regeneration of the Holy Ghost of God, the drawing. This morning, will you come to him? I'm not talking about any pride or any of that getting your way. Will you be regenerated? Will you be made new? A regeneration this morning. Taking that old person and making a brand new one out of it. Maybe you've been regenerated years ago. But do you need restoration? Are you at a spot where you ain't where you should be with God? Then you need restoring back to that same place. Is your strength gone? Is your spirit gone? Do you feel like there's no power within you? Then you need renewing. You need to be made new again. You come down here this morning. You say, well, I ain't got to come down here and pray. No, you don't. But I don't know of a better place. And I know when I read the Bible and it talks about people who needed to get in touch with God, they had a certain posture. It was on their face before God. You see, we think, well, if I come down here, people will think I've done some brother. You're all sinners. The only difference in you and anybody else is the grace of God has saved you. You come down here and cry out to God, and I promise you, according to the authority of the Word of God, he will regenerate, he will restore, and he will renew you back to a brand new being. What about it this morning? Will you come?